Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
And I welcome you today to CSE Talk Radio. It's my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. You know, I mentioned yesterday that I remembered many dark days in this nation through my short little life. And when a day of great loss happens, we remember it vividly. Where we were and what we were doing. When my home was lost in a fire, I remember exactly how the news was brought to me. When the Challenger blew up in space, I remember where I was that day. When President Kennedy was assassinated, I remember very vividly where I was that day. When the planes flew into the trade buildings, I remember exactly where I was. The day my home burned, I had been to town. I had a prenatal check. I was 8 months pregnant, and I had my four-year-old with me. My daddy stopped me on the highway. They feared for me if I was to drive home and see the fire, what might happen. So he told me the news, and I was crying. And my four-year-old son said, "Don't worry, Mommy. The firemen will fix it." And I said, "They can't fix this one, honey. The heroes can't fix, but they can rescue." When this nation was attacked, the heroes ran to the chaos, not away from it. They ran to the danger. They couldn't fix the burning and exploding buildings, but they could rescue as many people as they could, many sacrificing their own lives that day. On 9/11 and the days and the weeks to follow, there wasn't one American taking a knee in disrespect to this nation's flag or to its heroes. It wasn't Antifa that ran to the buildings. It wasn't the NFL rerouting traffic so that the rescue vehicles could accommodate. We watched as Americans ran from, helping one another, and we watched as heroes ran to the rescue. We will not talk about theories today, but I want to remember the emotions of this nation, not just that day, but in the weeks and even the months that followed. They pulled a flag out of the rubble, and the pick of those firefighters holding it up was not unlike the Marines on Iwo Jima. Where were you that day? Where are you today? Is your heart still wrenched with anger at the hate that was put upon this nation? That day did bring America to its knees, but not in disrespect, but to honor our God. The churches were fuller the next several Sundays as a nation for a brief time remembered whose it was. Many were lost that day as a nation through grief found its way. Today the nation seems again to be lost and has lost its way. America, we should be on our knees in prayer and in praise, is our best combat in these days of despair. Today, my guest is Daniel Turner, and we will discuss once again the intrusions of government as it has overstepped its bounds into the rights of the American people, and the positives as a people are back to work and have renewed hope. Daniel, I believe you told me one time you were a New Yorker at some point in time, and that now you're fighting for rural America and all America. And you know, on September 11th, 2001, every single American was a New Yorker. Welcome back to CSE Talk Radio, Daniel. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Beth Ann. Appreciate you having me on. I love my monthly appearances with you. And today's a tough day, no doubt. You know, it's a little surreal. Personally, I was studying abroad on this day 17 years ago, and I got a call from my mom. It was 3:30. I was in Italy. It was around 3:30 in the afternoon. And she called to tell me that She had done a head count for all my brothers and my dad, and everyone was okay, but that there was a word that they were going to cut off international cell phone or international phone calls, and so she had to go, and she hung up. And the sad thing is I was in a study hall. I hadn't been watching the news in the last 45 minutes. I had no idea what she was talking about. And then I hadn't heard from her for a couple hours because of phone line problems, and ran to a TV, and I think I sat in front of that TV for about a day and a half. So thank the Lord my family did survived, right? I didn't lose anyone, which is remarkable because my dad worked across the street from the towers, and my brothers all worked in Manhattan. My sister worked in Manhattan. So my family survived, didn't lose anyone. But when I go through me, my brothers, my parents, you know, my dad was a broker for 30-something years. He lost – ask anyone who worked in the same industry for 30 years how many people they know who would die if something like that happened. He lost dozens and dozens and dozens of friends and colleagues. And my sister said he would at nighttime look through the paper as they were publishing names. And he would just circle them so he could remember them in their prayers. And she said it was the only time we ever saw Dad cry. Dad's a tough Irish, kind of a stoic guy. You know, there are two types of Irish. There's the fiddle-playing, joke-telling, laughing Irishman, and then there's the more serious, stoic, reflexive Irishman. And that's my dad. And she said the only time she saw Dad cry was right after the 9/11 attacks. And, yeah, just unspeakable tragedy. It's hard to believe it's 17 years, but it's, it never goes away.
You know, I had some sons in high school, and I had some sons that were out of school. And the one that was out of school was in the ministry, and he was in St. James, Missouri at that time. I believe it's where he was. No, he was in Mount Vernon, Illinois, I think. And he called me. He said, "Mom, what's going on?" You know, and I told him as best I could, because the second plane, I'm not even sure if the second plane had hit yet. It might have at that point in time when he was calling me. But I worked at Learfield Communications for Derry Brownfield. Of course, they have a news room, and every one of the computers and televisions was on and showing it as it was happening. And it was, you know, you don't forget these things, you know, you just don't forget it. And it brought a nation together. And I long for that nation to come back together now, not in a tragedy, but just, you know, just to remember who we really are as a people.
And it brought out the best in people. Obviously, we saw the worst of this Islamic terrorism, but it brought out the best in people. I mean, New Yorkers have a reputation of being sort of obnoxious and indifferent, and people go to New York and say, everyone's so rude. But you just saw these examples of people giving out food and of people opening their homes, people just a few blocks from the trade centers who on a normal day would not open their door to hundreds of strangers. But on this day, people even fun, you know, bizarre anecdotes of a guy who owned a shoe store who was giving out sneakers to all the women because they were all in heels and you can't run in heels. And just amazing stories of people's generosity. And you mentioned at the beginning in your opening, your beautiful opening remarks of how many people turned to church and how many people went and prayed. And it reminds you that we are a good nation. We are a kind nation. We are a Christian nation, Judeo-Christian nation. And it shouldn't take a tragedy to help to make us return to our roots. But sometimes it does.
Unfortunately, that is human nature. I remember, and then we're going to get back to work here. I remember when the first Friday after that, and there was a high school football game, and my youngest son was playing high school football then. I think he was a senior that year. And there wasn't a plane in the sky yet. They had not put the planes back in the sky. So it was very eerie in that respect for a few days after 9/11. But Everyone stood and sang that national anthem with tears. Everyone was a New Yorker that week. We are headed into a break. Your calls are welcome. We are going to talk about Power of the Future. Our Daniel's got some news to bring to us. 877-895-5410 is the number to call. And Daniel and Beth Ann, be right back.
Yeah.
Feeding America is more than a slogan, it's a brand we should all look for to better this nation's economy. Liberty Tabletop is the brand of Sherrill Manufacturing, the only manufacturer of flatware in the United States of America. Liberty Tabletop creates a high-quality flatware with a competitive price using the finest quality 1810 chromium nickel stainless steel. Oh, by the way, the steel they use is also made in the USA. The steel is tested for lead and other toxic trace elements, so you bring to your family a safe and pure product that will last for generations. Setting your table is an important part of every meal. The patterns you choose say something about you and your family. Bring America home with Liberty Tabletop. Visit my website, csetalkradio.com, and click on their link. Call Liberty Tabletop at 1-844-386-2338. LibertyTabletop.com. Use the promo code BethAnn.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free. And I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-978-6168 now and use promo code BethAnn to take advantage of Mike's buy one, get one free deal. The offer expires August 1st, so don't delay. Order now by calling 1-800-978-6168 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code BethAnn. Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And we have returned to listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. Daniel, we have a couple of callers. We're going to go to them real quick, if you don't mind. We're going to go to Tom in South Carolina. Tom, how are you today?
Well, doing pretty good. I tuned in a little bit late. Did y'all cover anything about 9/11 concerning Building 7 or the Pentagon?
No. Simply just reminiscing of the loss of the people.
You don't mind me talking about it, do you?
A little bit, I do. I didn't really want to get into that today. I have Daniel Turner on today, but if you can give it to us in 2 to 3 minutes, we'll listen.
Okay, well, nobody has ever explained why Building 7 across the street from the Twin Towers fell in.
Right.
It's the same afternoon that the Twin Towers went down.
Yes.
It looked like a demolition. It did a little tuck in its roof, filling its own footprint. 47 stories high, almost as long as a city block. Wasn't hit by an airplane.
No.
But Larry Silverstein owned it, and he leased the Twin Towers. So there's a connection there. And then the Pentagon, the hole in the Pentagon, the windows were intact on either side of the hole where the engines of an airliner should have been and knocked them out, but it didn't knock them out. So there's something very wrong with the explanation, and since you don't want to talk about it too much, I won't go any further other than to say something is very wrong with that explanation.
Yeah, we have a lot of unanswered questions, that's for sure, Tom. We have talked about it before. It's been a while, but I've had some of those people that with the questions on, and we've talked about that from the 9/11 truthers and such. So we have talked about it before, but today I just want to remember those that were lost and the rescuers. But I appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have Neil from Missouri. Neil, how are you today?
Doing all right. now that it's quit raining a little bit. Yeah, I would just call to find out if either one of you saw the Diane Sawyer special that was all 3 to 6 months after 9/11, where she brought up the issue. I mean, this was on, I don't know, whatever, 60 Minutes or 2020. There was a little old lady right down the street from the Twin Towers who was filming as the second tower was hit. And she happened to see four guys on the rooftop down below her. It was a parking garage, and they were next to a white van, and she filmed them. They looked like Middle Easterners, and they were like high-fiving and congratulating each other. So she filmed these guys, calls the New York City police, gives them the tape. Now, Diane Sawyer ran the tape, and it shows these guys down there. Now, who they turned out to be, and this is what she reported, they were from the film, the cops were able to get the tag number off the van, traced it to a local moving company who turned out to be a front for the Israeli Mossad. Mm. And they scooped those four guys up when they raided the moving company, but the Israeli ambassador came immediately and scooped them up and hauled them off. Now, did you see that show, or have you heard
anything?
I
did not see that show. I wonder if I got that on YouTube. Interesting. Yeah, a lot of unanswered questions. Certainly.
Yeah, I just wondered if you or Daniel either one had seen anything or heard anything, any follow-up on that.
I had not. Daniel, had you?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to see if we can YouTube that. Thank you, Neil. Appreciate the call.
Sure.
Daniel, you know that it's kind of an emotional day, as you well know, that many Americans sat and watched this in horror, and we have a lot of unanswered questions, and I didn't really want to go down that street today because I wanted to remember those who were lost and the rescuers that were lost and just the heart of this nation that day and the following weeks and how people came together. You know, when you watch the pictures of them helping one another as they're running away from this collapsing building and burning buildings, you know, and all the dust and everything. I'm looking at a picture right now. We become one people. You know, we are there with them. You know, we become one people. And
exactly.
That's kind of what I wanted to reminisce about today. And I had a show yesterday with Foster Freeze talking about bringing America back together and you know, how we need to be that people that don't argue about everything. We're never going to agree on everything, but we don't need to argue on everything. But we need to find that common ground. And so anyway. What's been going on in the Power of the Future?
Well, can I tell one quick story about
a
friend of my parents, which will help center people and move away from questions of conspiracy and who's behind it, et cetera. Mike Pascuma, 96 years old. He used to take up the collection at my church, friend of the parents. And at 96, he was 17 working on the floor of the stock exchange when it crashed in 1929.
Hmm.
So he had a long legacy. And at 96, he still worked on Wall Street, went down. He's an institution in Wall Street, obviously long gone now. And he lost his only son on 9/11. He was in the tower. And he was given the honor of opening the bell when the markets reopened for the first time, which would have been on the 15th. And I just tweeted a little story about him to see this 96-year-old man. And my mom was telling me the story of, you know, they came out of church and he was sitting there on the steps and with tears in his eyes. And he said, "I can't believe I lost my only son." He was in the tower. And lots of unanswered questions, lots of anger, lots of frustration. But I don't think it's the time to wonder this or wonder that, or how come this person or who was driving that van. It was a terrible, terrible evil. And mm-hmm. You got to go to Occam's razor in these moments. The simplest answer is usually the correct one. And we don't have to be looking for why. We just have to look at how we can get over this and how we can help one another be a better country.
Yeah, definitely it was evil that perpetrated against the United States, and Americans were lost, and innocent Americans. You know, they weren't in a battle. They were at work. And
exactly.
Amazing, just amazing. And it happened, like I said, it happened in New York and Pennsylvania and D.C., but it happened right here.
Yeah.
Every single American felt it that day. So.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, let's put them back to work.
Talk about energy. Yes. You know, we got to move forward. And So there's a hurricane coming, as everyone knows, and it's going to probably hit the East Coast, and it looks like it's a pretty serious hurricane. And so one of the things I'd love to talk about is pipelines. The governor of the candidate for governor in Florida is a guy with the last name of Gillum, who is a radical environmentalist. He's funded very much by the Soros and Steyer. They each contributed a total of about $650,000. That's a tremendous amount of money to push an anti-energy issue and agenda. But here's what he has to know as the governor or the potential governor of Florida and the rest of those states that are in the areas of hurricanes. When hurricanes come, what is the devastation that comes with it? It means that trucks can't get through. It means that trains can't get through. And pipelines, since they're normally buried underground, can survive hurricanes. And so I just want your listeners to pay attention. If this hurricane comes, and God willing, it takes a big hook to the right and it disappears. But if it hits and we watch these videos and images of devastation, what is going to be the biggest impact is the lack of ability to get resources, particularly energy, to the hardest hits. And anytime people say, well, we support protesting the pipeline, we don't want to build a pipeline, what you're really saying is we don't want to be ready when tragedy strikes. Mm-hmm. And so just something I want your listeners to pay attention to.
That's very interesting. I didn't think about it that way at all.
Yeah, and Florida obviously is vulnerable to hurricanes, and the whole coast is. And, you know, when we lose our energy, we lose our, for the sick, respirators and dialysis and machines and hospitals. And for the rest of us, it means our food spoils. It means in sometimes extreme heat or extreme cold. We are such an energy-dependent people that my biggest frustration in the energy fight is the ones who say that they're trying to stop energy production or stop America from being energy efficient. Really what they're doing is they're trying to stop us from being prepared to survive, to live, to overcome. And it just, you wish you could wake these radicals up with what their agenda really will do to people if it got it implemented.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day, just, well, it was last night, as they're screaming about this and about that. I watched the news last night, and they were playing clips of some of the Democrats, because they're so desperate to win in November, and talking about our democracy is at hand, you know, that it could end that day. And I'm thinking, but these are the same people that are pushing socialism, so, you know, it's... they don't stop and think, my point was, as you were saying, they don't stop and think about the future. You know, what if this happens? What if a hurricane hits? What is our best source of energy for the future? What is it that we can have that will be a safeguard, that will always be with us? And, of course, a pipeline, I guess, doesn't get hit by a hurricane. Never stopped to think about that.
No.
I just didn't stop. Of course, I'm not in hurricane country. We're going into a break. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. We just have those little tornadoes that fly around here. 877-895-5410. I'm visiting today with Daniel Turner of Power the Future. Visit his website, powerthefuture.com. And Daniel and Beth Ann will be right back. Founding fathers knew that the heartland would be coveted by those who want the land and its resources, or hated by those who simply do not understand its value. It is that simple. And yet today, the humble folks in the heartland are losing jobs and feeling the pressures from an out-of-control bureaucracy, as well as outsiders with agendas. From the heartlands of America come our food, manufacturing, and our energy. CSC Talk Radio is a voice crying from the heartland and standing up for rural America. And so is Power the Future. Power the Future is a unique foundation established to be the voice for rural American energy jobs. Daniel Turner is a strong advocate pushing against those who would like to punish rural folks and take their jobs for the sake of climate change or the land and its wealth. I'm proud to be a part of Power the Future and bring Daniel Turner here to you. Our future depends on it. Let's power the future as we bring America home to common sense jobs and give our rural families a voice. Visit powerthefuture.us. Powerthefuture.us is the way to bring America home.
Sustainable development or sustainable freedom? We cannot have both. Henry Lamb, the founder and executive president of Freedom 21, put together a unique booklet explaining Agenda 21 and the true agenda behind it. Learn the new language and what it means to you and your community. Agenda 21 is a UN project for America and across the globe. Freedom as we know it will end when Agenda 21 is implemented to us and on this land we call Free America. Control of land, rivers, food, roads, highways. Rewilding America. Agenda 21 rules and regulations will end private land ownership as well as private land use. Read and study this booklet to learn why smart growth is anything but smart. Henry doesn't just tell us the bad stuff. He has a plan for fighting and stopping the takedown of America. Order now. Send $7.50 to CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. It's sustainable freedom for me. Send $7.50 to CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018.
A moment from a founding father. Perpetual debt. Thomas Jefferson warned us of this. We must not let our rulers load us up with perpetual debt. The U.S. lives on debt. Our fiat money is nothing more than IOUs, promissory notes. A genius crime. Over 100 years ago, Congress relinquished their duty to manage our economy and currency to a non-related government outsider, the Federal Reserve. Congress also decided to put the burden of income tax on we, the people. Life in America changed. Today, the taxes we pay are a substantial percentage of our personal incomes. The Federal Reserve controls the economy and currency by debt, and thus debt became accepted rather than rejected. Thomas Jefferson's warning, we must not let our rulers load us up with perpetual debt. Rulers, D.C. occupiers, elected officials, career politicians, the two-party system is now a monopoly. Congress is corrupt. We the people must demand Congress to stop the perpetual debt. 202-224-3121. Make your voice heard.
I injured my neck in the late 1980s. My life changed with the pain and the spasms. Other than that, I was perfectly healthy, but pain kept me from resting. One doctor recommended an expensive pillow. It was cylinder-shaped. He told me I'd have to take the stuffing out because I was too small for it. I tried that pillow, and it didn't work. Through the years, I tried other pillows, and they might work for a short time, and I ended up pitching them out of bed. In December, my husband bought a MyPillow for me. I was skeptical for obvious reasons. I'm still using the MyPillow. It's a record. And I'm sleeping better and waking up feeling better. It didn't heal the neck from the injury, but it calmed the spasms. I personally endorse MyPillow, but don't buy it off the rack. Call them at 1-800-978-6168 or visit their website, MyPillow.com. They have a different feel consistency to fit your sleep style, belly, back, or side. MyPillow is a sponsor of CSE Talk Radio, but you have to use the promo code BethAnn. With a 60-day guarantee, there's nothing to lose. MyPillow.com. Promo code Beth Ann. And we have returned to listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. You know, Daniel, we were talking on Friday about some of the things that were going on in Colorado, and we've got the more stuff from California. You know, they just can't seem to get crazy enough there in California with their restrictions and or inflictions. I don't know what.
Yeah. And they're 100% renewable by 2045, which Governor Brown did sign into law. It was very disappointing, not totally unexpected.
No.
And it's, again, it's just legislators who think that they understand the way the world works because they won an election. And rather than taking advice from experts and people on the ground, it's feel-good legislation. It makes them probably gets them a lot of campaign cash from the green lobby, which spends more than twice what the quote-unquote big oil spends. You always hear that phrase, big oil. The
yeah.
big oil companies. Big green has twice the money or spends twice the money in the election cycle than big oil. But and so they pass these laws, and the governor signs it, and what are the consequences going to be? You think of how much electricity California must use every second. And if right now they don't generate it from solar and wind, but they generate it from fossil fuels, if right now they don't, how are they going to do this mandatory replacement of their energy grid? Are they just, where are they going to find all this land to put the wind turbines and solar panels?
Do they even stop and think about what they're doing?
Of course not. That's the joy of being
okay.
a politician. It feels a lot like Obamacare all over again, right? It's people who don't know how health care works who say, but doesn't this sound nice? We're going to have affordable care for everybody. But the devil is in the details. And
yeah.
I'm not cheering for a technocratic state, but I am saying that there is a certain level of sophistication in issues like energy. And when you just pass these silly feel-good laws, again, who's going to suffer? It's always the poor. It's always the sick. It's always the marginalized. The rich are going to leave. If California becomes too expensive, they'll just pick up and go somewhere else. But who's stuck behind? Those who can't afford to leave. Those who have a sick parent they need to take care of, et cetera. And it's just infuriating. It's terrible. My only hope is knowing that it's such a stupid law and really so they are so unable to fulfill it, that in a couple of years they'll just have to pass an exemption and they'll just keep doing that in perpetuity. Like they did with Obamacare, right? Remember, they couldn't fulfill most of the mandates, so they just kept pushing back the goalposts.
Well, you see, you know, with Obamacare, I know there was an agenda. I think all along it was all about bringing this to one provider, which would be the U.S. government, in socialized medicine, which we most of us do not want. And so I'm trying to figure out what is the purpose of this, because they know they can't do this. They know they cannot possibly do this without some pretty severe repercussions coming out of it, or unintended consequences. But I kind of wonder, are they really unintended?
No, that's a great question. What is the motivation behind that?
I know money is. I mean, we know if you can follow the money. Money's always part of it.
Money's always part of it. But if people in their private capacity started to live some of the things they want government to do to them, then I would buy into their global warming, into their climate change. You know, it's like the millionaire who says we should pay more in taxes. And you say, okay, well, why don't you send extra money to the federal government? They never do.
No. Right? You should be willing to give to the government. You know, they've got that little box on your income tax. Would you like to, you know, donate?
Exactly. You
don't see too many of them doing that.
No, these politicians who all decry the tax cut that we just got recently, just tell them keep paying the same amount. If you think the tax cut was so offensive and so vulgar, keep paying the same amount in taxes. But I wonder how many of them actually do.
No, they
don't.
And
it's the same thing with energy. They will not, in their personal capacity, not drive. You know, people like Bloomberg and Soros and Steyer own private jets and homes around the world. And I don't begrudge them their wealth. I hope to be that wealthy someday, right?
We all can dream.
Yeah. Working in the nonprofit industry, I don't think it's going to be a reality anytime soon.
Working in the media industry, it's not either. Especially if you're fighting for common sense. It's just not very popular on the agendas of most people. I have an article here that has nothing to do with energy, but everything to do with stupidity. And it's actually a story out of Missouri where Carl and Janice Duffner, she has a very strong allergy to this particular grass. Mm-hmm. And in this, it is mandated in this community that they have to have this grass in their yard. It says, for 4 years, Carl and Janice Duffner of St. Peters, Missouri, have been fighting the city's enforcement of a mandate to grow turf grass in their yard despite Janice's grass pollen allergy. So I'm not sure what all the fight is going to be and how they're going to get around this. I mean, whether they were in a gated community and they signed this little paper saying, yeah, we'll do whatever you guys want, now that's going to come back to bite them, or if this was passed after they already lived there, or whatever the case may be. There's no love being shown, that's for sure.
No.
But it's just another thing where government, whether it's local or D.C., you know, come in and dictate to the people what they can and cannot do.
Exactly. And encroach on their individual rights, encroach on their property rights.
Absolutely.
And also never deal with the consequence of their actions. I don't know what the long-term consequences are forcing the whole community to grow the same grass. Maybe there are none. But it is amazing that somehow these city councilors get into positions of authority and they know better than everybody else what you should grow in your backyard.
They might have got some money from a particular grass grass company. I don't know.
wouldn't surprise me. Right?
Yeah, here, do this, and we'll make sure that everybody buys your grass.
Exactly. Remember we gave your listeners the story of the initiative under the Obama EPA that put huge taxes on repurposed engines for long-haul truckers. And then we found out that the people who pushed that legislation was Volvo, because they wanted people to buy new engines, and they don't want refurbished engines. So they said, let's make the refurbished engines really, really expensive, and then people will buy ours. The Obama EPA went out and said, look at this, we're going to tax refurbished engines because they pollute. Manure, horse manure. They tax that because Volvo wants you to buy a new engine. And we just need to be honest about what's driving some of these laws. And it's usually not a good intention.
Yeah, I've often wondered about the light bulb law, you know, when they passed that several years ago, whatever. You know, and I was making fun of the Democrats the other day because I always call them Dems, D-I-Ms, not the brightest bulb in the box. And I said, maybe it's because they've been buying those light bulbs instead. I don't know. Anyway, I get a little silly sometimes, but it is, you know, you just can't help but wonder. You know, it's always about the money. I watched The Revolution on Sunday night. And he was giving his swamp alert for the upcoming elections, and he says we have to be fair, so we have to give it on the Democrats as well as the Republicans as well as the Democrats. And the Democrat he picked on, and I don't remember all the specifics, but you could follow the money, where they had gotten money for something that they were doing or were not going to do in their positions. And the first one was Nancy Pelosi. And it had to do with a bill that never made it to the floor. And she got big bucos of dollars for this. And the other one was, unfortunately, the Republican Ted Cruz, who also got money and from a big corporation. The ones he very, you know, said he was fighting against, you know, because he's fighting for the little men and little women, you know. And but these guys go up there, all of them, and they get in place and they pass these laws or these bills, or they don't pass these laws or these bills, and they benefit from it. And I think the American people need to be woke up as to exactly what's going on. And if we follow the money, Daniel, we'll figure it out. But they hide it pretty good. They do hide it. We really have to do some digging to find it. And I wished I had a script of what he had read that evening, because it was pretty telltale. Anyway, we're going into another break. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. I'm visiting today with Daniel Turner of Power of the Future. You can visit the website, powerofthefuture.com. And you can email Daniel, too. You gave your email last Friday. You want to do that again?
I'd love to. Daniel@powerofthefuture.com. I'd love to hear your stories.
That's pretty simple. Daniel@powerofthefuture.com. And Daniel and Beth, without the .com, will be right back. Our founding fathers knew that the heartland would be coveted by those who want the land and its resources, or hated by those who simply do not understand its value. It is that simple. And yet today, the humble folks in the heartland are losing jobs and feeling the pressures from an out-of-control bureaucracy, as well as outsiders with agendas. From the heartlands of America come our food, manufacturing, and our energy. CSC Talk Radio is a voice crying from the heartland and standing up for rural America. And so is Power the Future. Power the Future is a unique foundation established to be the voice for rural American energy jobs. Daniel Turner is a strong advocate pushing against those who would like to punish rural folks and take their jobs for the sake of climate change or the land and its wealth. I'm proud to be a part of Power the Future and bring Daniel Turner here to you. Our future depends on it. Let's power the future as we bring America home to common sense jobs and give our rural families a voice. Visit powerthefuture.us. Powerthefuture.us is the way to bring America home.
When in the course of human events, in order to form a more perfect union, do you recognize those words? They're a part of our Declaration of Independence. At CSC Talk Radio, we recognize that our country is under attack from within. We need we the people educated and reminded about our U.S. Constitution. As part of our Bring America Home campaign, we're excited to offer you a brand new board game, The Constitution Quest. This colorful, handsome, and sturdy board game is a must to teach our children and grandchildren the importance of our country's constitutional government. There's no shooting zombies here. This is an old-fashioned down-home board game designed for family fun and education. $49.95 is a wise investment in this country's future. Be a part of our Bring America Home campaign and order the Constitution Quest game today. Send $49.95 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. That's P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Or order online, www.csctalkradio.com. Together, we can bring America home.
Are you local to the Colorado Springs area and interested in exploring political philosophy through moving, real-life stories? Join us Saturday, September 22nd at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs for inspiring personal accounts of those that have fought for individual liberty under the most extreme circumstances. This lecture series, Heroes of Courage and Liberty, will feature incredible speakers like Michael Lella, whose father's life inspired the Amazon number one best-selling book, Beneath a Scarlet Sky. Also speaking will be Dr. Don Viet Hote, a political prisoner in Vietnam for over 16 years. We'll hear from Dr. Isaac Chung, one of 11 children from a Chinese-Vietnamese refugee family and author of Where the Wind Leaves. This program is sponsored by the Foundation for Economic Education. Please visit fee.org/UCCS for more details.
For centuries, those who raise, breed, and work with animals have been revered and lauded for what they do. Today, across America, the rights to own and raise animals are under attack by animal rights activists and their increased influence on government and non-government agencies. This onslaught regularly violates protection from legal search and seizure and a citizen's right to due process of the law, all of which are outlined specifically in the U.S. Constitution. Protect your animals, your animal enterprise, and your property from this abuse of power with a membership to the Cavalry Group. Membership provides immediate access to their team to protect law-abiding animal owners and animal enterprise against unwarranted search and seizure and false claims. They also work to protect their members' interests legislatively at the local, state, and federal levels. Get the shield that protects you, your animals, and your property. Join the Cavalry Group today. Call 855-748-4210 or go to their website at thecavalrygroup.com.
And we have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio with Beth Ann. I just didn't even know where I was, Daniel. I kind of got lost. I talked about being lost at the beginning of the show, and I just got lost. Where am I? I'm right here. Right here with Daniel. Daniel's taking care of me. We're in the final
segment. Everyone gets lost on this day.
We're in the final segment of today's show. So I'm kind of going to turn it over to you. I've been doing too much talking, so I'm kind of turning it over to you.
Yeah, there's so many things to talk about in energy. I just want to give a shout-out, though. I texted my mom at the commercial break and told her I told the story of Mike Pascuma, mm-hmm. that nice old man from the church. And so I think she was a little disappointed I didn't let her know I was going to be on the radio. So
she
sorry,
can listen
mom.
Later. She but. Can listen later.
I will send
it
her the link.
You better. Okay, I'll give it to you. I'll make sure you've got it.
Thank you. We were just talking about how important energy is to our lives and how important it is to our economy. A great article I've talked about is how New Mexico has an additional $1.2 billion in tax revenue. Well, that's a billion with a B for their state because of how much the oil and gas industry has exploded in the state. There was a big land lease by the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, in the Permian Basin, and Texas received about $500 million in additional tax revenue just from land lease sales. I mean, this is a huge driver of our economy, of our revenue, and of jobs. But what I care about are those communities, those people, their livelihood, and just respect for them and their community. And, again, it just drives me crazy that these folks like Soros and Steyer and Mike Bloomberg want to spend their money to influence politicians, to drum up some fake activists to go into these rural towns and destroy their way of life, especially when we talk about the importance of culture. We talk about the importance of diversity and respecting community. Well, this is their community. They're a coal community. They're an oil community. And it just breaks my heart, and that's why we exist, to fight back against these folks, these radical billionaires and their money that is going to try to take away their livelihood.
You know, you have mentioned it several times on the air that everything that we have involves energy. You know, a lot of times we just think about gassing up the cars or the heat that we need in the winter. And I guess California doesn't need the heat too much in the winter, but but they do need those air conditioners. They do need those cars, and they need those Sharpie pens so they can protest. So I'm never going to forget your Sharpie pen comment. You'll go down in history as the man who talked about the Sharpie pens and the protesters. But, you know, we don't stop and think that everything that we have, from our food to our Sharpie pens to filling our gas up, our cars up with gas, when we turn on the, you know, I have a gas range, but I have an electric oven. Doesn't matter, you know, you've got to have energy to survive.
Yeah. And like on a day like today, our 9/11 responders and our firemen and police.
Absolutely.
And ambulances, and do we want them to have less efficient cars, to not be able to arrive to emergency situations on time or quickly, or helicopters? And we all pray to God that this hurricane does veer to the north and fizzles out over the Atlantic. But if it does hit in a couple of days, what we're going to see is a loss of energy, and that's going to be the biggest driver, because people aren't going to be able to pump water out of their homes. They're not going to be able to get heating, electricity, fresh water, et cetera. And this is what's going to be the real consequence and the real driver of illness, of disease, of, God forbid, of death. And energy runs our world. And when these environmentalists come and say, no, we're going to shut down this pipeline, like I said at the beginning of the show, what you're doing is saying, so you don't want South Carolina to be ready for a hurricane? Because the pipeline will guarantee you oil and gas, right? It will guarantee you electricity. And these environmentalists, we have to always push back against their agenda, because it's detrimental to the country.
You know, and when we stop and think about that, whenever we do make these mandates, these rules or restrictions, who is affected? You say the poor. Well, it's also the elderly. It's also the sick. Mm-hmm. And it's also the children. The elderly, the poor, and the children, and those that are disabled, the sick. You know, and it's one thing if you're a millionaire and you can handle all these things, and all you got to do is go somewhere else. You know, mm-hmm. You can just move from California. But many are not in a position where they can change their life, uproot and do something.
I think about the poor people right now in the South who are being told to evacuate. God forbid they don't have a network of friends and family.
I know.
And I know there are things like the Red Cross, but where do you go? You're lucky to be blessed with a number of children and a big family. So if for someone said you need to evacuate, or when you lost your house in that fire, I didn't know that story, Bethann, that's terrible. You had people to turn to. But if you are poor in South Carolina right now and they say evacuate, where do you go? And if your home is underwater or destroyed and you don't have electricity, what do you do? And they're always the ones who suffer. And yeah. And these green environmentalism, for me at this point, it is a luxury of the first world.
You mean Al Gore didn't open up some of his houses?
I don't know. I don't know if he did, and maybe he did, and I hope he did. But.
You know, there were a lot of people after Katrina that uprooted and had to go somewhere else, and some of them landed in Missouri, and some of them landed other places, and whether it was family or by themselves, I mean, they were just kind of, they weren't refugees because they were citizens of the United States, but they were refugees in the fact that they had to get uproot from where they were and everything they knew. And it's,
exactly.
You know, we have to stop and think about that. And we do need to be in prayer for the East Coast right now.
Oh, absolutely. And we need to be prepared, and we need to be ready. And I have confidence that the governors and the elected officials there, you know, they know they're hurricane prone, and so they're keeping an eye on it. But we just hope for the best. But, again, it shows the importance of having reliable energy so that we can recover from these situations, whether it was 9/11 17 years ago, or any storm that may or may not happen in the future going forward. And so these green groups are a threat to us. And They need to take their activism to the places that pollute.
Go to China.
Asia, right? Yeah, exactly.
Go to China.
Exactly.
Big polluters. Well, we're just about out of time, and I want to talk about Power of the Future. You can visit his website, powerofthefuture.com. What can we do to help you, Daniel?
Your stories and testimonies are, for me, the most important, because just like we need to connect where our food comes from and who raises our cattle and our chickens and our eggs, names and faces help tell a story. And the more we can profile energy workers, oil, gas, coal, and renewable workers, all workers, but the more we can show that this is the heart of America, these are the folks that are working every day so that you can have whatever it is, that Sharpie pen or that loaf of bread, and then maybe the activists will be less likely to go try and shut down their way of life when they can connect it to men and women and children and families and communities.
And Power of the Future is about the power in the future. We're not saying that all renewable fuels are bad. We're not saying any of that. We're saying that we can work together with all of it. But we can't just kick the old out and only have the new. We've got to work together. Thank you so much for all that you do, Daniel. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for reminiscing with me today. And I'll make sure that you get this podcast so that your mom can listen to you. You've been listening to CSC Talk Radio. We've been visiting with Daniel Turner of Power of the Future. Go to his website, powerofthefuture.com, and let's work together to once again bring America home. Gold and silver have been the foundation of wealth for individuals and nations the world over. The history of man is packed with coins, jewelry, and artifacts that have spoken to the intrinsic value esteemed in gold and silver due to their rarity, durability, and usefulness. I'm proud to call Melody Cederstrom a friend and honored Discount Gold and Silver Trading is a loyal sponsor of CSE Talk Radio, a Christian company founded on the principles of truth and honesty. Melody provides quality products, quality service, and competitive pricing. Let Melody's over 20 years of experience in gold and silver trading be your investment guide, from precious metals purchases to precious metals IRA. Whether you want to buy or sell, Melody and her team at Discount Gold and Silver will assist you and make sure you get the best deals possible. Call Melody and tell her thank you for sponsoring CSE Talk Radio, and then let her know you want her to be your gold and silver dealer. Visit Melody online at dgscoins.com or just give her a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
CSC Talk Radio's goal is to bring America home. That includes you and your business. Radio is a powerful way to brand your company and increase your profits. Find out how to join CSC Talk Radio, help educate and activate America, and grow your business at the same time. Looking for new customers? Looking to have your business reaching out from sea to shining sea? Advertise with CSC Talk Radio. Believe in your product? Let Beth Ann be your personal spokesperson to properly brand your product and company. It's simple, easy, and affordable. Grow your business, grow common sense, and together we will bring America home. To be a part of CSC Talk Radio, call 573-796-2166. That's 573-796-2166. Or send email to beth@csctalkradio.com.
CSC Talk Radio is making available two pocket-sized booklets which will arm you with the truth. President Lincoln said, study the Constitution, let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaim the legislatures and enforced in courts of justice. The Citizens Rulebook is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and much more, explaining our rules. A must-read and a convenient to carry. Keep one in your pocket, one in your car, and one in your purse. The second punch of power is Sheriff Richard Mack's Victory for State Sovereignty. Understanding that our states' rights supersede federal laws and mandates is vital and valuable information. The Supreme Court victory of Mack Prince versus USA is a victory for all states. $5 will put power in your pocket. Order now. Send $5 to CSC Talk Radio. Let me know you want a pocket full of power. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com. $5 is a small amount to pay for a pocket full of